Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, praise the Lord. And welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. We are a Christian internet church and a local church assembly, And we meet here every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America and all around the world, and we welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank the Lord for his many blessings to us and for all that he has taught us and how he is training us now to be his people, to do his bidding, and to listen to his voice and to obey his spirit. We want to thank the Lord for everything that he's done. I'm Pastor Sabrina. Assistant Pastor Bill is here, and we want to thank the Lord for everything that he's been doing for us, because, you know, as we've been seeking the Lord, he's been changing us. We are not the same people that we were before. And as we are approaching the end of this year, I want you to be proud of what the Lord has done in you. Amen. You can see the growth that you have had, and many of you, you don't even respond to circumstances the same way you did before. You have a new response, a new outlook. You have something new to say. You have some victories under your belt now because the Lord is growing you up and training you and teaching you. It's important to be able to look back at your life and to literally pinpoint your growth and say, yes, Lord, I understand. Yes, Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, Lord, I thank you. And I'm listening for what you have to say to me. Amen? Amen. We want to remind you that if you do not have your elements yet for Holy Communion, to gather them, because as you know, we begin our services with the celebration of Holy Communion. Amen? You see, it was very important to Jesus Christ, for the church, the body of Christ, to have Holy Communion. It's a serious connection with him. It's a connection with what he did on the cross. It's a connection into our future that takes us back home if we're going to be with the Lord, with him. Amen? Amen? And it's not something that we take lightly here in this church. It's not a ritual. It's not a religious ritual. It's a part of a living relationship. Amen? Yes. So we ask everyone to search their hearts. We just sang, Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God. We need to search our hearts, saints, individually. We need to let the light of the Holy Spirit shine on our ways, or else the Lord would not be telling us to turn from our wicked ways. So there are ways that we have that don't quite please him. And now is a good time for you to spend a few moments alone before the Lord, asking him to search your heart, to search your motives, to search you. Amen? There are no perfect people on the earth, but there are some people living more righteous than others. Amen? So now is the moment for you to spend with the Lord, asking him to point out those things in you that he's ready to deal with. Amen? Go ahead. If you have your elements. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Amen. So break your bread, say thank you, Lord, partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. For your mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Father, you are the only one who knows our past, our present, and future, and you know our capabilities and our needs. Only you, Lord, can open and close the doors of our lives, because we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Father, in Jesus' name, teach us thy way, O Lord, and lead us in a plain path. Yet you will not, for your own will, force your own will on any of us. We must come willingly. We ask for grace to be teachable, to be sincere, to be yielded to your spirit, to be watchful as we wait for you. Father, you will lead us according to your own word. You are calling us more into your word than before. Heavenly Father, help us to be reasonable with you, no longer self-willed, no longer on our own way, no longer stubborn, no longer presumptuous. Guide us, Father, to bear witness with your spirit. You have said, Father, that you will guide the meek in judgment. The meek will you teach your way, not the bucking bronco, but the lamb in your fold. We must trust you, Father, with our whole heart, no longer leaning to our own understanding and thoughts. When we acknowledge you in all our ways, you will direct our path. Teach us to do thy will, Father, for you are our God. Your spirit is good. Lead us into the land of uprightness. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, all of his evil angels, evil spirits, and demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, and orders. In the name of Jesus Christ, we cancel all demonic assignments, satanic agendas against the righteous in the name of Jesus. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We come out of agreement with Satan and all his agents and his kingdom in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons, workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to the strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils to bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, listeners, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, electronic, digital demons, technology demons, electronic magnetic attacks, smart technology attacks, techno-paganism, and mind control of the occult. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, Kundalini, water, marine spirits and their attacks, sex devils and their attacks, all unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence spirits, and all of their attacks, all sorcery devils and their attacks, all seducing, womanizing, and drone spirits and their attacks. We bind all remote viewing in the name of Jesus Christ, all audio weapons, boredom spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger in their attacks, all hypnotic and trance devils in their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. And we overturn and empty the cauldrons and chalices on the heads of the conjurers and the magicians in Jesus' name. We bind Buddhist black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, African, Indian, American, European, Australian, Caribbean, and Latin American black and white magic in Jesus' name in the work of every druid. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts in the name of Jesus. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide in Jesus' holy name. We bind every free-flying devil every free flying devil and all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind impulsivity, inattention, racing mind, and hyperactivity in Jesus' name. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that has been committed. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect, and we bind the lord of the flies, all satanic worship, all satanic ritual abuse devils, and witchcraft dedications. We bind demonic insects, spiders, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity supplanting, the gods of the people of the land and the gods of the groves and every spirit that exalts. Science, logic, human reasoning, demonic knowledge, against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind you and cage you in Jesus' holy name. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, sabotage, fire, besmirch, hinder, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of the generation of fools, the spirit of the fool, the words of the fool, the anger of the fool. In Jesus' name, we bind the carnal mind in the name of Jesus. We bind all vampire, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devil attending the New World Order and New Age movement, spirits of the oppressors in their work, the spirit in the children of disobedience, all false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, make-believe fantasy, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, biopic, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind you and cage you in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to be bound and caged in the name of Jesus Christ. We place you into the spiritual cage in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the king of pride. We bind the king of pride and his entire kingdom. We strip them of their power and we chain them with eternal chains under darkness in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial ailments, fecal and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Baselech, Molech, Python, Baphomet, 72, Neptune, Atlas, Zeus, Mammon, and Apollyon. We bind the powers of every Masonic ritual, every Masonic ceremony, and their intents and elements in the name of Jesus Christ. We undo the works of every demonic weapon, fireball, poison, voodoo pins, and all cotton cold spots, cold triggers, tumors. And we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the belly of the sins. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy from his own head. According to the scriptures, we bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and their fear, harassments, witchcraft back on their own heads, as well as their mind control in the name of Jesus Christ. According to 2 Thessalonians 1:6, we bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we come to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into the truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we come to celebrate the scriptures with you. And to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Over all the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority and all true Christians. As we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We cut ourselves free. Hallelujah. We cut ourselves free from all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and every other form of agreement with the demonic realm. We break down walls of protection around wizards, shamans, nanobots, wizards, warlocks, witches, sorcerers. We break the power of every love spell, vex, hex, curse, charms, fetishes, all psychic warfare, voodoo, magic, mind control, jinxes, torment, sickness, pain, root works, crystals, tribal rituals and sins, and we return it from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. We return it from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Well, saints, as you know, the Lord's been telling us to get deeper into his word. Deeper into his word. You see, he has a plan for us, for this leadership and for this assembly of saints. Amen. And today, the Lord wants to talk to us. There we go. About quiet calm. Quiet calm. Something that we practice when we think about it, but other times not so much. Quiet calm. That's what he wants to talk about. Well, let's see. Brother Bill, everything all right? Can they hear me? Okay. Just need to make sure. Amen. Okay. Amen. All right. Okay, that's better. There we go. That's what I'm supposed to see. Oh, that's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, saints, there is a song that we used to sing when I was growing up. And the song went this way. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He is my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them over and over. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. And true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following him by day, by night. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. Is he your friend? Is he really? I hear some yeses, but you know, you better ask him what he thinks. Is Jesus your personal friend? Is he the one closest to your heart? Or is it something else? Or perhaps someone else? What is standing between your soul and your Savior? I know you're quick to say nothing, but perhaps you need to ask him. He might have a differing opinion. Have painful events from the past that you still don't fully understand cloud your view of him? Has the hardness and difficulty of your way caused you to doubt him? Are the questions in your heart clouding your sight? Well, these questions and many more like them are allowed in our lives so that we can learn more about our God and how he deals with his saints. We must all grow in trusting the Lord. Even if you have been saved over 50 years, you must still grow in trusting him. God's ways are not as man's ways. God has a very different point of view. If we keep running in circles as we have been, we may never learn what he is trying to teach us. Saints, he has more for us, but we must choose to allow for his processes and purposes to be fully worked out in our lives and in the lives of others. Why, God, why? When, God, when? God may never answer the questions as we think that he ought to, but he will always do what he has promised. He is a God who cannot lie. He is a God who cannot lie. We must learn to take him at his word, knowing that he is ultimately in control. Yes, he is. The circumstances may not look the way we think they ought to look based on what we think he has said to us, but he's in charge. He's painting his own mural. He has his own palette. He has his own shades and colors. He has his own paintbrush. He's the one painting the mural. We just get to see bits and pieces of it. We have no idea what the full mural looks like. You see, it's much larger than us and much larger and vast than our little world. It's a huge mural. It would have covered Noah's Ark a million times. But you see, we only see a little glimpse of it. And we want to judge God and everyone we know and everything we see based on our little glimpse of it. But that's wrong. We're wrong for that. And we need to repent. You see, God's mural covers all of eternity. And right now, all we see is this moment in time. In fact, we can't even remember some of the moments that we have had with God in years past. They become fuzzy and hazy. But God has a clear, sharp point of view. He sees it all at once, and he sees it as it's happening, and he already knew what would come. So, for us to allow little events that we think are great and tremendous to come between us and our God because we don't understand the whole mural, we've not seen the whole mural. We've only seen bits and pieces. It's wrong. And we need to acknowledge that we are wrong. that our attitude does not reflect who our Lord and Savior is. Sometimes our God is way too small, you see, because the real God is much more. You can't paint God in a box, saints. He doesn't belong there, and neither do you. You see, saints, God is working when it seems that nothing is happening. When it appears to us that not one thing is happening, God is busy at work. When it looks so stagnant, so bleak, and so unfruitful, God is at work. Just trust him. He knows what he is doing because God never fails. So I ask you again, is Jesus all the world to you yet? I would dare say he's not all the world to any of us yet. We're just moving in that direction. We think that he's all the world to us, but we still have room to grow. And if we are not progressively moving forward with him, if we become stagnant and cease to grow, we need to go back to the foot of Calvary and find out what we left behind. So if not, there are still places in your life where you need to grow in faith and trust. Then learn to wait for him in quiet calmness. Wait for him in quiet calmness. No, not the usual frantic worry, fret, and frustration. That's not what brings his presence. In fact, when we do that, his presence moves away. No, not at all. But instead, in quiet calmness. Quiet calmness. Quiet. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, Lamentations says. Lamentations 3:26. It is good that man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Does that mean we do no spiritual warfare? No, it does not. But it does mean that we're supposed to have a certain attitude toward the Lord. We should be hopeful. You know, we have a tendency to look at everything that's wrong and judge by everything that's wrong, whether or not God has done anything yet. But that's not how we determine if God's done anything yet. How we determine that is from the Word and the Holy Spirit. That's how we determine that. And he said to quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Well, are you quiet on the inside? Or is it tumultuous in there? Are you saying, well, Lord, I prayed. I've been praying for the last 30 years, and they're still no different than they were before. That's not quietly waiting for the salvation of the Lord. That's murmuring and complaining. And it releases the destroyer, as we know. Amen? Ecclesiastes 9:17. The words of wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. We do know we have fools in the body of Christ, don't we? Well, they have a tendency to have a lot to say, but it's not always from God. Quite often it is not. But the words of wise men are heard in quiet far more than the loud, continuous, boisterous discussions of fools. You know, a fool is heard and understood to be a fool by as much talking, his mouth is always moving and never stops. He doesn't take a break. He just keeps on going. He keeps on going. Keeps on going. And you see, worldly people and carnal people are fascinated with that, but God isn't. And truly spiritual people are turned off by it. Amen? You see, because we know better. We know that's not God. You see, a mouth that's always running, sooner or later it's going to tell a lie. All you got to do is wait for it. Ecclesiastes 4:16. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. There's going to be a crowd going somewhere all the time. A crowd going somewhere all the time. If you attach yourself to a crowd going somewhere and you don't really know where they're going to end up, what have you just made of yourself? What are you doing? What have you done? The Bible says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The Bible does not say there'll be a crowd following the Holy Spirit anywhere. So if you attach yourself to this crowd and follow behind this crowd, who's leading you? Who is your leader? And to whom are they taking you? Do you know? Have you sought the Lord in fasting and prayer to find out? Or are you just assuming? Because these are all nice Christian people. But he said, everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So who are you following and where are they going? Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Meek. These people are usually teachable. Usually. Sometimes. They're supposed to be seeking his righteousness. Remember, we talked about that other day. Seeking the Lord and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek meekness, he said. You know how you are. You're mouthy when you don't need to be. That's not meekness. You know, you have this opinion going on when people are trying to talk to you. You can't hear what they say because you're busy judging them. That's not meekness either. He said, seek meekness. You see, sometimes the Lord will open the mouth of a donkey. And if you're busy standing there judging the donkey, when the Lord speaks out of the donkey, you won't get what the Lord had to say. Mm-hmm. It's so. Isaiah 7, verse 4. Take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. He says we need to pay attention. We need to be quiet. We need to get out of fear. And we can't afford to be faint-hearted. We're not giver-uppers. That's not part of the Christian faith. We have to be faithful unto the end, faithful to him all the way to the end. Colossians chapter 3. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's something we have to allow to happen. It doesn't just drop in out of the sky. If you want the peace of God, it's something you have to make room for. So it means you're going to have to push out some other things that simply are just the flesh. You're either going to crucify them to Calvary and remind them that that's where they are and that's where they're supposed to stay and you're dead to those things, or else you will not have the peace of God ruling in your heart. He didn't just say, just have the peace of God in your heart. He said, allow the peace of God to rule. And rulership means that you have authority, that you can run out anything that shouldn't be and keep what ought to be. You can say it goes this way and not that way. So, are we allowing God's peace to be in rulership in our heart. Are we? Is that what we're doing? In Philippians 4, beginning with verse 6, be careful for nothing. Nothing. So if you had to go through all of this up and down and up and down and up and down where it came to pandemic things, you violated that scripture. Because he clearly says that you're not to be anxious or concerned or fretful or any of that over anything for any reason at any time. Because when you're in the spirit, the peace of God is ruling in your heart. You don't have time to bicker with other people because the peace of God shuts that down. You don't have time to be nosy because the peace of God shuts that down. You don't have time to be deciding, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it that way, and I'm going to do it this. No, because the peace of God puts you in check. Have you consulted the Lord? If he's truly your Lord, he's running the show and not you. Well, do you have time to figure out how you're going to get done what you think you want to get done with your business or with your job? Or with your children, or with your family, or with your in-laws, or with the mortgage, or all of that other stuff? Or do you just walk in the Spirit of God, in the peace of God, and as you walk, the answers come. They flow. Is it that way with you? Or do you sit there and go, well, I got to figure out how to do, and I got to figure out, and I've got to figure out. If you're doing all the figuring, do you still have a Lord? If you're figuring out every little itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, minute thing, do you have a Lord who says to you, cast all of your care upon him because he cares for you? That means you're saying, no, I don't trust you to run my life, and so I'm going to work it out. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to maneuver this. I'm going to turn this way, and I'm going to turn that way. And when I finish, it'll be okay. You just negated his lordship in your life. Is that what you're planning to do? You see, the only way for you to get to heaven is that the Holy Spirit escorts you there. No escort, no go. So do you think you can afford to grieve the Holy Spirit by doing it your way? Have you got time to do that with such little time left on earth? Really? Seriously? Is that what you had in mind? You know, at some point, either you're going to allow the Lord to run your life or you're going to run yourself right off the track. He says, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Why? Because everybody else is doing their own thing. They're too busy to pay attention to the Lord. They haven't got time for quiet calm. They're doing the rat race and the get-go, and I got it, I got it, I got it, and I got this, Lord, I got this. I'll come pray when it's something major, but I got this. You haven't had anything else. Think of the things you have absolutely messed up. Think of those things. You thought you had it together, didn't you? You thought you knew what you were doing. You had this bright idea in your head that God did not give you, and you went out to execute it in faith. So why do you think that now that you know five scriptures and you know the difference between the Old Testament and the New, that you've become an expert at even your own life? Who gave you that idea? You need to take a good inventory of all of your failure. And let that inventory speak to you so that you understand that every time you thought you had it going on, you didn't. Amen? Saints, can you hear the voice of the Lord in these scriptures? Can you hear him? Can you hear what he's saying to you? Now, it's real interesting. You come to church, you sit down, you listen to this sermon that the Lord put together to talk to you. He's trying to counsel you. He's trying to help you. And you walk out the door saying, I got that. And you guess what? Before you get home, you will have done something that you were told not to do. Well, did I tell the truth or not? One of the things the Lord wants you to do is to calm down. You know how you are, flighty. Oh! There's this hurricane out in the Gulf. You know how many hurricanes have been in the Gulf? Just in our lifetime? And you're still breathing, right? Your feet are still dry? But, oh, there's a hurricane in the Gulf. Okay. In Luke 21:19, God is talking. And he says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. You need to take authority, dominion, and power over your thought life, over what rolls out of your mouth. Because you run yourself in these tantrums. You just keep going on and on and on and on. You know you've seen a baby. They throw a tantrum. And they're the ones that keep it going. They keep escalating. Mom keeps doing what she's doing. And then they go to the next pitch. And mom keeps doing what she's doing. And they go to the next level. And mom keeps doing what she's doing. And then they're just screaming. They're at the top of their lungs. Well, God doesn't expect us to act that way. You know, you can tell in your prayer life you're repeating the exact same thing over and over and over and over, as if he didn't hear it the first time. The Bible says that his ears are open to the righteous. He's listening to our prayer. So if you said it three times, believe me, he got it the first time. But no, you're going to keep saying it because I'm going to make you hear me, God. It doesn't work that way so well. Haven't you noticed? The more you do that, the more he sits and waits. Okay, so now let the light bulb come on. That's not the right way. Get it? Calm down, he said. And you must keep going until the restlessness in your heart gives way to his peace. Till the restlessness in your heart gives way to his peace. Keep searching. Keep moving forward in his spirit. The Lord is there every step of the way. He will exchange with you his peace and his hope for your anxiety and fear. Lean back on his everlasting arm. Get to know your heavenly Father even better. He loves and cares for his own. God will take care of his saints. I need to say that again. God will take care of his saints. I don't care if the Antichrist is already walking around in the grocery store. God will take care of his saints. If he hadn't told you, you wouldn't know there was an Antichrist, okay? So obviously not only does he knows everything about the whole situation, and he will still take care of his saints. Well, is this the mark of the beast? Well, you wouldn't have known about a mark of the beast unless he had told you, right? So isn't he well able to steer you out of those things if you ask him to, if you trust him, if you obey him, if you decide to be led by his spirit and not your own bright idea? Isn't he well able? Is he or is he not the God who subdues all things to himself? The Bible says he is, but what do you really believe? That's a good question. What do you really believe? What do you really believe? Because you see, he will not forsake you nor leave you abandoned. He's promised you that. He can't lie. So obviously that's what's going to happen unless you show out. Unless you go into rebellion like you've done before, that's the way it's going to go. He is a very present help in times of trouble. So why are you so stirred up? What have you been running around and yakking on the phone? And did you know, and did you hear what this one said? I was up on YouTube and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you just go on and on and on and on and on. Did you hear this one? Did you see this one? And did you hear, and did you know, and in Congress they're going to, but at the border. And then if you want something, really? We need to know what's going on so that we can intercede. That's why we need to know news, so we can intercede according to the will of God. It is not for the purpose of going crazy. That's just not the idea. We listen to hear what he wants us to pray about. But he did not say it's for the purpose of going loony, just going round and around, and every time somebody says something, here we go. That's not the point. So why are we doing that? Does anyone have an explanation? Does anyone know? Probably because we're not obeying the word. So, why are we so stirred up? Hasn't God provided until now? Well, hasn't he? So won't he continue to provide? So you have enemies, eh? Well, didn't the fiery pillar stand between Pharaoh's army and God's people at the Red Sea? Well, God is no respecter of persons. He delivered them, and he'll deliver you, provided you don't get in fear. God does not like fear at all. And even if you have fear of fire ants, you have to get rid of it. The fearful go to hell. So as long as you have fear and unbelief, you're going to hell. That's the way it works. He has not changed his mind, nor will he. He's exalted his word above his name, and that's the bottom line. Saints, the Father wants us to develop a quietness of spirit, a spirit that waits for him to speak and to act. A spirit of worshipful serenity and calmness, knowing that your heavenly Father sees all and knows all. In your heart, maintain a meek, a teachable, a reflective, a surrendered, and a quiet spirit. God is pleased with such a spirit. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. The Bible says that. So now, are you going to believe him and depend on his word? Or are you going right back round on that little merry-go-round and that little train that leads you crazy? It's up to you. News is going to keep coming. It'll keep coming past the time when the saints are taken out of the earth. News is going to keep coming. But the question is, how are you responding to it? Are you waiting for the Lord to say, okay, pray about that? Or are you going nuts, like most people? He never called his people to be nuts. No, he never did. He never called us to go batty. We're supposed to have what he gave us, spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound, well-disciplined mind. We're supposed to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to do it all of the time. And so we don't have little demons running around our ears saying, did you hear that? And then the next thing you know, you're responding to a demon, but not the Holy Spirit. And then you get in a practice of this till you find yourself off in a little place where you know you have no business being. You know, some of us, that's how we ended up married to who we married to. We was listening to a demon, and we just kept running right on down the trail. We never did come back to sit down before the Lord, shut out every other spirit, shut our own big mouth, and listen to what God had to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Yes, he is, and he's good all the time. He's good all the time. Saints, the Lord will bless in an atmosphere of quiet calmness as we wait for him to speak and to act and to reveal his will. He is aware of our request. He has heard our voice. There is no need to act like a fretful child who will not still himself. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Receive the mercies of the Lord. Be at peace in your mind and in your heart. You are ever before him. He sees you where you are, and he has great plans for your life. But you say, Lord, I haven't won the world for Christ yet. And he smiles. And you say, and it's not working out the way that I had hoped that it would. And he smiles for me. Yes, he has his way. And you're still relying on your way. Saints, panic, fretting and anxiety operate in the energy of the flesh. You find yourself there, just tell yourself, I am in the flesh, Lord, and I'm wrong. I'm in the flesh, Lord, and I'm wrong. When we do this, we hinder ourselves from doing what God wants God's way. You see, the Bible says he causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure, not our own pleasure. You see, that's what the Bible says. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. We're still trying to figure out what to do with the remains of our 401k. Well, if it's God's 401k, you can stop worrying and just say, is there something you'd like for me to do about that, Lord? If it's your 401k, then you're going to sweat. God says that we are all worked up and uptight in vain. We are all worked up, overworked up, and uptight to no end. No good end at all. So he says, just chill out in his love for you. The load gets too heavy, then cast your care upon him. The government of your life is already on his shoulders. Saints, we can either choose to wait for God's leading or fret and end up getting out of God's will. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, no matter how long he takes. You see, God created time. He's not inside time. He's outside of time. Time is something we deal with. He overlooks time. Fret not thyself for any reason at all. Not any reason. Not any, but Lord, I need this money tomorrow. Well, I hate to tell you this, but before you were conceived, he already knew this day was coming, and he is not at all surprised. Before you were conceived, not before you were born, before you were conceived, before Granddad had this glint in his eye, he knew all about your days. He knew all about your mess ups, all the lies you would tell, all the stealing you would do, all the cheating you would do, all the whoring around and drinking and carousing and partying and just making a literal fool of yourself in front of Satan that you would do. He knew about all of it. And he loves you anyway and forgave you anyway and allowed his son to die before anybody ever heard of you, just for you. So doesn't that require a change of attitude in our heart? Doesn't it? I think so. I'm certain it does. Well, God is not on the restless, upset, nervous, can't go to sleep at night, worrying about every little thing page. He's not on that page. If that's the book you're reading from, he's not there. I would suggest, saints, that you turn the page. God's not on that page. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. A rest. A rest in mind, a rest in emotion, a rest in heart, a rest in body. There's a rest for the people of God. Will you stop striving to get God to do what you want God to do? Either you're going to trust him or you're just going to keep poking him. You know how you do that poke thing? That doesn't work either. That's the way it is, you see. He wants you to rest in his everlasting love for you and receive his strength. In Psalm 127, he says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. Why? Because he gives his beloved sleep. If you want to stay up all night, he'll be up, but he thinks you ought to be asleep. If you want to stay up all night trying to figure out what you're going to do, how you're going to do, where you left that thing that you can't find, that you've already asked God to show you where it is, and now you're going crazy looking under everything. If you want to spend the whole night doing that, well, he'll be up, but he thinks you should be asleep. You see, sleep is a blessing. He expects you to enjoy the blessing. It brings restoration. He expects you to be revived. But if you want to stay up all night sweating it out, he'll be up. He'll hear every word you say, even if you've repeated it to him 25 times already. Amen? He's loving. He's long-suffering. Amen? He's merciful. He's forgiving. But he's calling you higher, saint. He's calling you to drop that stuff off and walk in his peace. We're going to have turmoil. It's not packing up moving. No, you cannot move to a new neighborhood where there are no bad people. There is no such place. There never has been and there never will be. I don't care how nice and pristine the houses look on the street. There are still bad people living in those houses. Do you understand? I don't care if there is a guard at the gate. He's not Jesus Christ, nor is he the angels of God. You understand? You can't run away from crime. You know, recently in this area, not so recently ago, they had this community whose name I won't mention. And the little girl got up at 2 in the morning and went out the house to meet this boy, and he killed her. Well, you see, they thought they had this nice community where certain people, and some of you, wouldn't be welcome to live. They thought they had it all pristine and just right and everything was how they wanted it to be. But guess what? Trouble was in their midst. I don't care how much you paid for your condo. There's somebody living in that complex that just is not of God. Okay? Let's get real. Evil is everywhere. You can't pick a zip code that doesn't have it. Even if the zip code is in the national forest. There's somebody out there living in the woods because he got run off from other people. So now stop that mentality. Just stop it. The devil's laughing in your face. Oh, if I could live over here, then I wouldn't have. And that, then, okay, don't they still put a door on your house when they build it? Don't they put a lock on the door? Don't they give you a key? Don't you still jump up there and get, what's the name, Ring, and what's that other guy's name? You know where they spy on you in your house, even though they're telling you they're watching it, they're surveilling. Yeah, something's getting surveilled, it's you. And you're paying them to surveil you. Isn't that cute? So are you going to trust God, or are you just going to keep acting like you've always acted and done what you always did? Are you going to do that? Just keep on with the same old beat. You going to do that? Or are you ever going to actually walk in the Word? Are you actually going to walk the Word? Because that's what God honors. Either you're going to believe what the Bible says and live it, or you're not. And you need to decide what you're going to do. So, God says, to cut that foolishness out. He's had enough of that. It's vain and it's fruitless to get concerned over everything that keeps happening. And you get up early and you go to bed late so that you can fret and worry and worry and fret. And you roll from side to side all night long. Cut it out, all right? Just cut it out. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from getting angry because people are ugly and nasty. That's a waste of your time and emotion. And forsake wrath. When that man decided to be intrusive yesterday, and he walked off because I would not allow him to do what he planned to do, he went and announced to everybody that I was ignorant. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, forgive. Now, so what are you going to do? You're going to proceed to get irritated with a fool? Or are you going to forgive and keep on with what you were doing? It's up to you. It's up to you to decide all day long, every day, what you're going to do, how you're going to do. Somebody irritates you in your family. Well, you're used to your family. They've been irritating you all these years anyway. You know what they do. They know where your button is, and they come over and go, as soon as the devil says, now, they push the button, and there you go off on your little, you know how you do it. And they can't wait for Thanksgiving and Christmas to come. They are ready to push those buttons. They are ready. They done practiced, okay? And their demons are going, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. And you're standing there like, and then you get offended. Jesus already said offenses were going to come. And you know that's what they're going to do. They're going to push your buttons, every single one. They're going to push your, and then come back and push them again. So now what are you going to do? They've been doing it for years anyway, and you've been giving them results. You should change the picture sometime. You really ought to. You really ought to change that picture. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Do not go off planning in your head how you can go get your concealed weapons permit, get you an Uzi, and finish the deal. Do not do that. That is not the plan, okay? Just don't go that way. That ain't it, okay? It just isn't the plan. For evildoers shall be cut off, I mean, face it, you've already paid your tax money for plenty of prison cells. That doesn't mean you need to personally visit them. But those that wait upon you, Lord, shall inherit the earth. There's a better plan. There's a better plan than you getting upset every time they tell you about their latest sin. And, you know, you raise them in the church, and here they come with 5 tattoos on one leg. You know how they do. They pull the surprise. They bring whomever that is they're with to Thanksgiving dinner. And you're sitting there trying to look righteous and holy and all of that. And you're not certain who or what this is that's dining with you. And you're trying to keep a straight face. And you're having serious problems because your eyes are starting to water because you're saying, Lord, hold on to my mouth. Let me put some more bread in here to keep my mouth shut. Amen. It's real. They don't tell you, the door opens and you say hi and you look behind them and go, you know they do this to you. So come with the mind of Christ. Oh, someone that Jesus died for, I pray. Amen. Come on, you got to get it tuned up. We're right in the middle of that season. Oh, Jesus died for you. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Pass the potatoes. That's the way it works, saints. So now, God's spoken to us. He's told us what he wants us to know. Now we need to get up and do it. Amen? We need to get up and do it. You know, your niece that went off to college looking like a nice girl. And when you open the door, you're trying to hold your face in place. You know, it's happened to plenty of us. And you say, Lord, you're blessing her with some common sense. Amen. Amen. Stand for the benediction. Now the peace of God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Saints, Pastor loves you.
Oh!